All right, I will sit here and wait. I defer to you.
Well, this won't work.
You want me to push it again?
Mine's different. It won't work.
You need this?
Yeah. That's not where mine is. There we go. Getting close. I guess that means I'm not supposed to do it.
I feel like a student waiting for a teacher.
Well, mine is supposed to start with the map of the journey. I don't know where it's gotten to, but anyway, that's all right. Alan's got more and better things to say anyway.
Pressure's on.
I said pressure's on. I gotta. All right, let's.
Now, if mine didn't come up, I'm going to give it to him. Well, while I'm waiting for mine to come up, you know, our title today is "Who's on the Invitation List for Your Banquet?" And as I sat here, I was thinking about all the fun food banquets that I've been to and fun things that I've been to all over the world that are really strange. In Western Samoa, once I sat in the folly of the house of my guest, and we were served on banana leaves. I'm not talking about a small banana leaf, but a big banana leaf. That was our plate, and it's filled with food. And you have to know the customs when you're there. You have to know what you're supposed to do. And in the Samoan custom, I was supposed to eat everything. It's rude, and it was rude for them not to feed you a lot, and so they just piled on the food, and they kept giving it to me, and I couldn't eat anymore. And then I discovered one of the customs is that you can pass the food in your banana leaf to the person to your right, and they cannot refuse the food either. We did that to a Tongan. Tongans are tall. They're 6 foot tall. They're big people. The king of Tonga weighed over 400 pounds at one time. And so we're at a feast. We're at a banquet. And at the very end was the Tongan. He was visiting with us. And so we decided to play a trick on him. And we passed the food down from one person to the next person. That person passed it down. And the Tongan knew he had to eat. And we kept giving it to him, until finally he just rolled over and said, "I can't eat anymore." We fed him till he was sick. It was a big joke. Banquets, it's a lot of fun. First time we went to Fiji as a family, my family, not my parents' family, but in 1999, we were invited to a home of a very poor family. And I knew they were sacrificing to feed us, and so I told our kids, who were 8, 10, and 12 at the time, do not refuse anything, do not say you don't like it, eat what's on your plate. They weren't used to the Fijian food yet. I mean, we'd only been there a few weeks. And having grown up in Fiji, I knew what to expect. So I said, when they leave the room, you can give it to me, and I'll eat it, you know. So just pass it to me, anything you don't like. And so they did. You know, there were certain things they didn't like, and so they passed it to us. And so as this passage that we're going to look at, we returned the favor, and we had them over to our house. And someone here in the States had sent us a care box, and one of those things was a package of butterscotch pudding, which you cannot get in Fiji. It's a taste they have never had before. And so we thought, well, we're going to serve this because it's new, it's different, and it's really good. And we served it, and one of the boys there, sons, he was about Matthew's age at the time, about 12 years old, he took one bite of it and literally screamed, and with two hands was scraping his tongue I was thinking, and I told my kids, eat whatever's before you. Who's on your invitation list? And I said that to say this too. This is a strange party that we're in right now. If you've been here before, if you're accustomed to this, this is normal. You sit here, you sing some songs about anointed and honey on your lips and assembling at a mountain. And having been in places where I didn't understand the language, I mean the terminology, I know I've sat and said, well, this is really odd. And so if you're sitting here thinking, this is really an odd group of people, well, welcome to Central, first of all. And we realize that a lot of the things we say is symbolic, it's coming from the scriptures, and we don't expect you to know everything, but we don't want to speak in such a language that you're just pushed on the outside. And so we do want you to feel comfortable with us, and we're glad that you're here. We're doing something called a journey, and we don't have our journey things up here, but they're out in the hall. And the first part of our time together early in the year, we talked about our outward relationship with God, and the second part is our inward relationship with each other, how we treat, how we work with each other, how we treat each other. And then 2 weeks ago, we started this direction that we're calling outward. And Earl Lavender was here. He kicked that off by giving us an overview. Last week, Jim Norville headed up the group that several shared about our foreign mission work overseas as we've reached outward to people. And I was thinking that I counted 6 families that have lived overseas full time, over 40 years of work per couple added up together, different places in the world. And so as a church, we are people who have this outward vision, not only to different countries, but to the world around us right here in Huntsville. And so we're going to look at 3 verses at chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. And we're going to try to see what they're saying to us. And to understand it, I'm a context person. What is this saying? We're pulling out 3 verses in a context. And there's a larger context that really this does not have a clip, so I'm sorry to keep messing with this. There's a larger context in Luke itself, the whole book, but in chapters 14 through 17 especially, Jesus is showing what I think anyway are kingdom characteristics. These are the characteristics of God's kingdom. This is the nature of people in the kingdom of God. And then actually, I think we can extend that further to chapters 18 and 19, and we can see not only characteristics, but concepts, kingdom concepts. And when you come to at the end of chapter 19, Jesus is entering into Jerusalem as a king, as the prophesied king from Zechariah. He's on a donkey. We don't expect that, but from the prophecy of Zechariah, he's coming in on a donkey, and there he's coming into Jerusalem as a king. So we get this kingdom concept really all through Luke, but especially in chapters 14 where we're going to pick up today. But let's read verses 12, 13, and 14, very short, where Jesus says to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. What kind of banquet do you enjoy? This is in the context of a banquet. If you back up to chapter, right at the beginning of chapter 14, Jesus has been invited to a banquet. And one of my favorite types of banquets is the island banquet, where we dig a hole in the ground and we cook food in the earth, an earth oven. It just tastes great. And we try and do it every year, and some of you have been invited to our Lovo. And you haven't invited us back, and that's okay, because that's what the scripture says. I'm not asking for an invitation. But we're going to look at this banquet. What is it? We should look at this and say, this is a fun thing that he's talking about. This is a good thing. When you've been invited to someone's house to eat, it's usually a good thing to be invited and eat together. But we're going to look at what I want to start with in verse 12, attitudes, the kingdom attitude. What are people in the kingdom, what are their attitudes supposed to be like? The kingdom living has its foundation in attitudes rather than actions. Now, actions are important because they arise, because out of our attitudes arise our actions. That's the way it's supposed to be, and it is the way it is in our lives. Out of our attitudes, our actions come. The heart, the way we think, our attitudes are the source of our actions. And so Jesus is dealing with attitudes here, and he begins with us. He says, I want a change of heart. If we read through the Gospels, we see Jesus pointing to the heart, saying we need to change our hearts. We need a new beginning. We need a new birth is another way he says it. Before your actions can ever change, something inside has to change first. Christianity is primarily a change of the inward man before the outward man ever changes. And sometimes it happens right at the same time, but it's always in that order, though. Jesus here goes straight to the heart in this story. He's at a dinner. There's been many others who have been invited. And the neat thing about Jesus, as you read the Gospels, notice this. He will be in a situation that he has not planned. And he will just take that situation, whatever's going on around him, and he'll use that to teach people about the kingdom of God or about the way they should be living their lives. He turns situations like a party here into a teachable moment. He's speaking to the host here. This is the person who has invited him in. And my question as I read this is, why did he arrange this party? Why is he doing this? Interestingly, in verse 1, he says, so when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Don't you hate it if you're at a party and everyone's watching? You know, you don't want to chew. You don't want to take a bite. But especially if it's one of those parties where you don't know which fork you're supposed to pick up first, and everyone's watching you to see which one you're going to do first, and you know you're not going to do it right. But Jesus is being carefully watched, not on his etiquette, but he's being watched because they want to catch him. They want to trap him. And then in verse 7 through 11, you see a lot of pride that's taking place here where people are vying for the most important seats and so on. So he's speaking to the host, and it seems that this man is either repaying others for previous invitations or he's putting others in debt to him. Like, if I invite you to my house, then you have a feeling that, well, I've got to return the favor. And maybe you don't. All right, that's okay. But I think most of us, if someone does something good to us, we want to do something good to them. And maybe we don't want to invite them to our house. We'll take them out to dinner or something, or, you know, pay for their lunch at another occasion. But there's some way that this man is trying to get others in debt to him. Here's the key, though. Grace and love are absent from that party. Grace and love are absent. Pride and selfishness are present. Jesus says these strange words, you know, whenever you do this, don't invite your friends and relatives and so on. And yet we do that, don't we? We invite our friends. We have our people that we know, people that we love come over to our house. And Jesus is not saying here, I don't believe, never invite a friend to your house. Never invite a relative to a banquet, a feast. Because if you look through the Gospels, he often went with friends and relatives and people. He was eating with people that he's describing here. So he's not saying never do this, but he's trying to make a point here. And I think the point that he is challenging them is do not purposefully exclude others. This is what is happening here. Some people are determined that they are acceptable people. Some people are not acceptable. Jesus' example here, he's giving people on the lower end of society. These are the crippled, the blind, the poor. And this action of being exclusive is based either in a prejudice or considering yourself better than the other person. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we do that sometimes not because we have a prejudice and not because we think we're better, but we just don't know what to do and how to act and how to carry on a conversation with someone so different than ourselves. I think that's one thing we struggle with. And the attitude that Jesus is pointing us to, though, is humility, compassion, concern for the well-being of others physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So we have to start with this attitude, kingdom attitude of humility and compassion. Then he talks about kingdom people. Who are kingdom people? What are we like? What are we supposed to be like? You know, there's a tendency to seek out others who are like yourself. I think that speaks to all of us. In Fiji, we had a house church of about 50 to 70. And at one point, we had seven different nationalities represented in that small group. But primarily, there were two. There were the Fijians, the indigenous Fijians. And then in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the British brought in a lot of Indians from India who settled there, and so about half the population today are Indo-Fijians. The Indians speak primarily Hindi, the Fijian, their native language, Fijian. And so we had this big assembly together, and we would always eat together. I've told you the story of stone soup, where everyone would bring something, just a handful of something, we'd put it in a big pot, and we'd make a huge pot of soup, and then it got bigger, so we had to get two pots of soup, and we'd always eat together. And afterwards, as I was sitting there, I would notice most Sundays that the Indians would kind of congregate in one little area and begin speaking in Hindi, and the Fijians would congregate in another area and be speaking in Fijian, and I was just sitting in the middle being left out. But I always take that opportunity to kind of slide over. You're sitting on the floor, and you just kind of slide over to the Fijian close to me, and I'd say, Delai, Delai. This is man's one of my good friend's name. Delai, do you see what's happening over there? He'd look over and, oh, they're visiting. Yeah, but do you see who's visiting? Who is that? Oh, it's all our Indian brothers. You notice there's no Fijians over there? Yeah. Why don't you go over there and mix it up a little? You go over and do it. Then I slide over to an Indian, say the same thing to him. You notice over there, all the Fijians are by themselves. And just slide them over there. And I know there was no prejudice involved there. I know they loved each other. I saw them, how they loved one another. But it's just more comfortable to get around your own kind and to speak your own language. There's this natural tendency that I think Jesus is telling us we need to look at for us to go where we're most comfortable. Jesus is saying, now listen, kingdom people, don't be that way. Don't be that way. He said it this way, invite the poor, crippled, lame, blind. These are the marginalized people. These are the people on the fringes of society. A lot of people in the first century considered these people unclean. In Leviticus chapter 21, when the instructions are given to the priest, it says, now a priest cannot come into the temple if he is crippled, or if he's maimed, or if he's lame. He can't, if he's blind, he can't go into the temple area. And you might say, well, why not? Well, talk to someone else who knows a lot about the Old Testament. I don't want to go into a whole sermon of why the priests couldn't. But they weren't allowed to go in. They were considered, the words were, unclean. Doesn't mean they were sinful. It just meant they were unclean. And so they took that in this time of Jesus, and they said, well, if the priest was unclean when he was blind or crippled and couldn't go into the temple, then they all must be. And so they just treated all these people as unclean people. In John chapter 9, we see the disciples looking at a man who was born blind, and they ask the question, who sinned that he was born blind, his parents or this man? And Jesus essentially said, well, neither one, and he went on to heal the man and so on. But the whole point was, something is wrong with these kind of people. They're abnormal. They're outside the boundaries of normality. And so Jesus is saying, kingdom people must invite those who are on the fringes of society. We must be people who look out there and see the people that are excluded and issue them invitations. We have to move into situations where we're not comfortable. I'm not comfortable doing that. Well, that's okay. Be uncomfortable. You have to engage with people that you don't have much in common with. I just don't have anything in common with them. Invite them anyway. Not only should people, kingdom people, invite those on the fringes of society, but everyone and anyone, those like us and those unlike us. The kingdom person's identity is not based on who they hang out with, but in the one who hung on a cross for them. Here's the difference. I don't look at myself as a cool people, a cool person, and trying to hang out with cool people like me. That's not kingdom thinking. Kingdom thinking is someone hung on the cross for me, and I wrap my identity around that person. I live my life out through that person, and so therefore, whoever he hung out with, and he hung out with all sorts, from the rich to the poor to the lame to the walking, all sorts, that's the person I need to also hang out with. Kingdom people should never derive our worth, our status, our position on our circle of friends. That's not what identifies us, not who I'm with. Kingdom of people derive their worth, their status, their position in who they were made to be in Christ. We are new creatures. We are a kingdom of priests. We are the children of God, and so that's how I live my life, and whatever that means. This isn't only for the rich, but this is also for the poor. Here's something very interesting. I have found people, those who struggle financially, people who we would term poor, gather together with fellow poor people and put down those who have more than they have. There's this tendency, it's not just the poor and not just the rich, but the poor get together and they put down the rich and say, oh, they just got their money because whatever. I'm not going to do what they say. Listen, I've been poor. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. And you hang around with them and you look down at other people. Yeah, they're only rich because, blah, blah, blah. And it's the other way, too, where rich people, you know, they kind of hang out with their own people. And he's saying, look, whatever you are, if you're in the kingdom, whether you're financially well off or financially poor, that's not how you think anymore. The kingdom person is confident in who Christ has created him to be, and he can invite anyone to God's banquet. A poor kingdom person isn't prejudiced against a rich person. He can go and invite that person. They need an invitation too. They need to invite anyone who they consider socially above or below them. That doesn't matter. You know, there's three mirrors that tell you what you are. The first one is a real mirror. When you look in the mirror, you see what your body's like. I need to gain weight, I need to lose weight, whatever. I need to grow hair, whatever it might be. That's a physical thing. But if you want to know how you think, look at what you write. If you write anything, if you journal, that's the mirror of your mind. It's telling you what you're thinking. But the mirror of your character is in who you hang out with. Do you want to know what kind of person you are? Who do you hang out with? Who's your exclusive friend? Whoever that is, that's a mirror of your character. People outside the kingdom. There's some people outside the kingdom that is described here. Here he says they're poor. Let's see here. They're poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Who are these people so described? They can be literally poor, literally crippled, literally blind, lame. And this could be talking about a literal meal, taking food to people who are in this condition. But I think it's much more than that. It includes those who may be paralyzed by fear, sick in sin or in pain, those sick in emotional distress, those who are of a different race, the socially awkward people, those with unappealing personality traits. You know, there's some people that just are weird. They're different. And I could put myself there, okay? They're just different. There's something about them that's different. And we all have a tendency, if we consider someone different and odd, we don't gravitate toward them, do we? No, we just kind of, you know, we're nice. We kind of pull away from them. So these people could be all that type of person. It's more than a meal. It's not just Jesus is saying, take some food to these people. It can be visiting with them before and after an assembly like this. It can be going to a coffee shop together, taking a walk. Some people just need time. Just go for a walk together. Go to a ball game together. It's socially interacting in social circles that may not be socially acceptable. Just be there with people. But it's even more than that. Spiritually speaking, who outside of Christ is rich? No one's rich in spirit outside of Christ. The world is spiritually poor. All are poor. Spiritually speaking, who has sight? Who is clear on what is right and wrong? Who can say within themselves, I have a clear vision of what's right and what's wrong? Everyone's blind. And who is walking throughout the life without fault? Who is not crippled, spiritually speaking? All are crippled. Spiritually speaking, all are lame, all are blind, all are maimed. So all need to be invited to God's banquet. When you're thinking about inviting people, he's not saying only invite poor people. Well, spiritually speaking, yeah. Because everyone's poor. Everyone needs to come into his kingdom. Being a kingdom person has more to do with attitude than certain actions. It's not looking out and saying, you know, Jesus wants me to have a poor person in my house, so I'm going to arrange that. I'm going to find a poor person. Oh, you know, I've never had a maimed person in my life come to my house, so I'm going to find someone who's maimed and invite them to my house. Or I need to visit someone in jail. Jesus said something about visiting people in jail, so I'm going to go and visit some folks in jail. In order to fulfill a list of things that Jesus is going to ask me one day, did you invite someone? Did you invite a maimed person? Oh, yes, on September the 31st, 2019. Some of you got it, didn't you? Someone said, there's no September 31st. I did that on purpose because you can say that to God, oh, I did this, and your motive was wrong probably. You see, it's not, God isn't not looking for actions and checking off the list and say, okay, he got one poor person, good, all right. One main person, he forgot the blind, I'm going to ask him about that one. You see what I'm saying? It's not the action, it's your attitude. Being a kingdom person means having the Spirit of Christ living out your life all the time. And so you're going through life and you're not looking for poor people, you're not looking for rich people, you're not looking for blind people, you're not looking for sighted people, you're looking for anyone that you can invite into the kingdom, no matter what they're like, because they're all in need, they're all poor in Christ. It means seeing all people through the eyes of Jesus. We do not pick and choose who we won't spend time with. I'm not going to spend time with that person. We don't do that. Our time is spent with whoever is in need of Jesus. who's on my invitation list? Everyone I'm able to invite. Anyone I'm able to invite is poor, is blind, is lame, is crippled. Listen carefully, and I say this with love. Do you see yourself through the eyes of your race? Do you identify yourself and walk through life based on your culture? Do you go through life thinking of your position at work, who you are, who you're defined? We do that. What do you do, people ask? I love that question, because when people say, what do? When I'm on a plane or sitting with someone, I say, oh, all sorts of things. But what they want to know is, oh, you're a fill in the blank, whatever you are at work, and suddenly that's your identity. You know, if I said, well, I'm a person with 3 doctorate degrees, oh, they would go, oh, really? You know, suddenly I'm this marvelous person, and I could be the biggest jerk in the world, but I'm marvelous because I have 3 doctorate degrees. It doesn't make any sense. Do you live your life based on your education? Do you live your life based on your position at church? Do you live your life and walk through it and relate to people based on your wealth or your lack of it? Being a male, being a female, being young, being old, being middle age. You know, we go through life and the young, I actually remember this. The old people didn't know what they're talking about. When you're young, the old people don't know what you're talking about. And when you're old, the young people don't know what they're talking about. We exclude ourselves and just say, you know, our little group is the right group. If my primary identity is in any of those things, then Jesus says, you have received your reward. You got with the like-minded people, and they've repaid you. I can gather with my race, and I can brag or bemoan my position, and all those like me will agree with me. Yeah, we are like that. Yeah, that is what we're like. You have been repaid. You got with your own kind, and you're all patting each other on the back, or you're crying with each other, and that's your identity. You are rewarded. A man can get with other men, and we can talk about our wives, how you can't understand them, how difficult they are, and how life would be better, or whatever. And we have been repaid. As fellow men cry with us and say, yeah, you just can't understand those women. We've been rewarded. We've gotten with our like-minded ones. And we're going through life rewarded. Women can get with women, talk about how bad their husbands are, and we have been rewarded. We've got with our like-minded ones, the ones like us, and we've agreed with one another. No matter what my place is, no matter what my position is, I can gather those of like mind, and we can cry on one another's shoulders, or we can bolster one another up, and we have received our reward. We have invited people to our banquet that are like us. Or we can take Jesus' word seriously and not care about that. We care about only one thing. Are the people I'm looking at kingdom people? If they're not, invite them. And invite includes everything that means that talks about coming into fellowship with God. Jesus said, if you do this, if that's your attitude, if that's how you live your life, you will be blessed. And that word blessed means overjoyed, it means happy, it means content, it means fortunate. It means that you have an inward contentment that is not based on what is going on in the world. Important question. Are you content this morning? Are you content? Do you consider yourself fortunate in a world that is falling apart? The world is always falling apart. It has for thousands of years. Since Adam sinned, the world has been falling apart. Don't look at recent falling apart episodes and say, oh, the world is just now falling apart. Go back last year, the year before, a decade ago, 100 years ago. Life was not better during the Depression, contrary to popular opinion. Bonnie and Clyde were out shooting up people. It's always been bad. But the question you have to ask, are you content as a Christian? Do you see yourself fortunate in a world that's falling apart? And if you don't, you're probably putting your situation at the center of your life instead of Christ. If Christ is at the center of your life, you can view everyone the same. And you can live a life that is blessed, that is overjoyed, that it has contentment. Matthew chapter 25 is one of the passages in your handout. And I'm not going to read this. It's several verses long. But starting in verse 31 through 46, Jesus is telling a parable. He's telling, I'm not sure exactly the details of this. It seems to be he's trying to explain how things are going to be. And he talks about separating sheep from the goat, people one group from another group, and the goats are not going to be in a good position. They're going to be cast into everlasting eternal punishment, it says in verse 46. And the sheep are called righteous, and they're going into eternal life. So we have these two groups. And it's really interesting, he says to the first group, listen, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to visit me. And then to the other group, the goats, he said very similar, but he said, you didn't do those things. I was hungry, and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me in. So, and same thing. And here's the interesting things. Both groups had the same answer. When do we do that? The righteous had no clue they were helping Jesus when they helped Jesus. And the wicked had no clue they weren't. What's the difference? Is it just we go through mindless and let's just see what happens? I think this is what it is. If you go through life helping others when the opportunity comes, no matter what it is, you don't have to think, am I doing this? Am I doing this the right way? Am I doing it for God? Am I doing it? You just live your life out in Christ, and you help the opportunity as the opportunities come. You invite as the opportunities come, and then you have given water to Jesus when he needed it. You gave him food when he needed it. You visited him in prison when he needed it. You gave clothes when you needed it. It's not a checklist. And if you live your life centered in anything else, if you live your life centered in your identity based on all those things I talked about before, you're going to be one of these people who will walk through life self-centered instead of God-centered. And we don't want to be there. Jesus said, when you're doing this to me, you are serving others. Your service, living a self-centered life, and when the opportunity comes with the people living self-centered life to serve Christ, they could not see the opportunity that was staring them right in the face. We're going to close. Let me say this. Let's be people that have the kingdom attitude of humility and in service as we invite other people to come to his banquet. Our elders are going to come up for our invitation. If you'd like to respond and talk to them, have them pray for you for any reason whatsoever, come as we stand and as we sing.